Going on, Bears fans, sports betting season is in full force, which means you need a sports book with integrity and longevity like BetUS. BetUS have been pioneers in the sportsbook industry for almost three decades, thriving and paying their loyal customer base. Join now at BetUS.com today and receive a 125% sign-up bonus by using code Chicago125. BetUS has loads of bonuses and is known as America's favorite sportsbook for plenty of reasons. BetUS has all your NFL games with team and player props, including NFL futures and odds. In addition to the NFL, you can bet on college football games, PGA golf, NBA games, and more. They have every bet type imaginable, and the BetUS mobile platform is easy to use with full betting options. Follow my lead and get your phone, online, and social sports betting partner with integrity and longevity like I did. Cash in on your 125% sign-up bonus at BetUS.com with our code Chicago125. BetUS, you bet, you win, you get paid. BetUS.
You're listening to the Chicago Audible Podcast, changing up the way Bears fans stay up to date on their favorite team since 2015. Now get ready, because it's time to bear down.
What's going on, Bears fans, and welcome to another Chicago Audible postgame show. The 49ers defeated the Bears here at Soldier Field 33-22. I'm your host, Nicholas Moriano. I'm joined by Mason West. We are in a different part of the press box right now, doing a little something different.
Yeah, we've really never been over in this corner here, trying to get this out to you guys as quick as we can and also not get yelled at.
Yeah, that's also another goal of ours, just not to get yelled at here. So this is going to be a condensed version. A little bit out of the ordinary for what we usually do, but hey, it's a Bears loss. I'm sure a lot of you don't even want to hear about the Bears at this point. So we're going to get on into it. And usually how this starts is with Will's monster moment. And with Will not being here, I think it has to be Justin Fields. What? It was a 22-yard run that who knows how many yards he actually accumulated on that run, where he went right, went left, did a spin, and we're going to really test it out and see. Will, Mason, do you think we should keep going, test it out, or restart?
I think we should run with it. I think we're doing pretty good right now. We'll see what this looks like. At the end of the day, if it picks up what it picks up, what are we going to do? Because we're going to sit here and wait for it to be over anyway.
That's very true. So I would think that Justin Fields' touchdown run that, again, electrified the entire crowd here at Soldier Field with what he was able to do, making multiple defenders miss and getting it to the end zone, just to, again, electrify this crowd and just show exactly why the Bears went to go draft him. I'll start then. Actually, you know, I'll defer to you, Mason. What's kind of your stat of the game?
So my stat of the game, and we talked about this a lot while we were sitting up here in the press box, it just seemed like at first the 49ers really couldn't do too much, and then all of a sudden those explosive plays took over. So I did the best I could to, you know, count up the number of explosive plays. I'm not a math major, you know, so I'm a physical therapist, not my forte. But what I ended up having was 10 explosive plays total for the 49ers, 7 for the Bears. Of those 7, 4 of the explosive plays for the Bears were Justin Fields runs. Not design runs, but also scrambles, you know, 16, 15 yards. Whereas for the 49ers, they had 5 that were pass plays. In those 5 pass plays, one was a 50-yard pass play to Deebo Samuel. Another one was an 83-yard pass play to Deebo Samuel. So, you know, there is a difference. Not all explosive plays are made the same, but you could definitely tell at a bare minimum they had 3 more than the Bears. And if you go deeper into that, I mean, giant chunk yards, because they really couldn't move the ball super well if the Bears made them actually grind it out, right?
No, yeah, that's a really good point. And where I kind of want to take this for, you know, my monster, not a monster mode, but opening statement, it's like everything encapsulated in this is that when the Bears need a play, Justin Fields able to make them, right? Whether it's with his legs or the air, but when the defense needed to make stops, it just 467 total yards, Mason. Another game where they're giving up 30 points. They gave up 38 to the Buccaneers. Here's 33 to the 49ers. Those explosive plays that you just mentioned were happening consistently. And that was a difference, I think, in this game, is that this Bears defense, and, you know, we talked about it, the middle of the field looked wide open for a majority of the time. Travis Gibson was guarding, you know, one of the running backs and gave up a big play. It's like little things that, you know, Sean Desai really hasn't made mistakes, you know, earlier in the season. I think they all, whether it was like Kyle Shanahan out scheming Sean Desai and his defense or whatever it was, it just didn't work today defensively. Another game where a lot of mismatches, explosive plays, and the 49ers ultimately putting 33 points up on the board. So that's where I wanted to take this. But before we kind of go into you know, this offensive discussion and talking about Justin Fields, a bright spot, I want to tell you about our partnership with Owen. If you're like me, going to the gym is a crucial part of my schedule. It's a place to let loose and just decompress. And after a great workout, it's important to give your body the amino acids it needs to repair and rebuild proteins. And that's why I drink Owen. That's right, Owen, which stands for only what you need. Owen is a 100% plant-based protein company, and all their products are plant-based, free of artificial ingredients, and are allergen-friendly. Plus, Owen uses high-quality and carefully selected ingredients to make all of its products easily digestible, like their dark chocolate protein shake that has 20 grams of protein, my personal favorite. And I first heard about Owen from Chicago Bears quarterback Justin Fields, who follows a plant-based diet. Get 20% off your first purchase with code TCA20 at liveowen.com. That's 20% off your first purchase at liveowen.com. And remember to use the code TCA20. Join me and Justin Fields and try Owen, only what you need. All right, Mason, let's talk about this Bears offense, which, you know, I think you said it early on. It just looked different today in terms of, you know, what Justin Fields was able to do, what they wanted to do. But where do you kind of want to start with this offensive discussion?
Better, but not great, right? The Bears put up 22 points today, which is more than they tend to put up. So, you know, there's progress there. If you really break down what happens, the run game early on was still chugging along. You saw them moving the pocket a lot more, letting Justin, you know, cut down the field in half, routes that he could lead receivers more. He was able to find some of those open pockets on the hitches. Still way too many hitch routes for my liking. I mean, it's crazy how often, you know, they run those. But you let Justin do what he likes to do, right? which was fantastic. Mm-hmm. When you saw it start to break down more in the late third quarter, fourth quarter, was one when Khalil Herbert went out, of course. That was, wasn't great. But and the 49ers basically said, okay, let's let Justin, make Justin beat us. And then on that first drive of the half, he did that, right? He accounted for pretty much the entirety of that drive.
Yep.
Because Herbert, or because the 49ers were just limiting the Bears' ability to run the ball. And then, of course, now you get down into the red zone, hand the ball off, doesn't go anywhere, had a beautiful pass to Cole Kmet in the end zone, and Cole Kmet couldn't get his other hand around it off of Fred Warner in order to make the catch. Cole Kmet's got to make that play. So it definitely seemed to fit Justin's strong suits better, but still lack of separation, lack of explosive plays. There was really only one deep shot that I could think of, which was an overthrow to Mooney, and of course, actually down two, there was the second one to Mooney off his hands. But that's one of the things that Justin does so well is attacking downfield, and his deep ball accuracy is overall pretty good, but there's really nowhere to throw the ball, especially from what our vantage point in the press box.
Yeah, no, and I think to continue this discussion on Justin Fields, I also just like the decision-making. There were a couple throws here and there where, you know, there were in situations. I know there was one, it was in the middle of the field, what was it, to Marquise Goodwin. There were a couple defenders around the area, but for the most part, Justin Fields made the plays, the progressions that you want to see. Like, even on the third down and 19 play where the Bears just end up getting a field goal out of it, he hits Jesse James for 11 yards to make it from a what potentially could have been a 49-yard field goal to a 39-yard field goal, and Cairo Santos makes it. So it's little things. He doesn't have to go for the home run ball every single time, but it's like those little adjustments to his game to where, hey, we can take some yards here, still get a field goal, or where he's using his legs on, you know, the edge where Nick Bosa was kind of coming at him and he turns a corner on him and it's on a third down play. So seeing Justin Fields kind of make offense happen, that's exactly what you want to see. Even, yes, the Bears did lose, but, you know, Justin Fields, I think, took leaps in the positive direction, just in terms of throws, progressions, but that's exactly what you want to see from him.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we've talked about that leading up to this, not just this game, but other games, you just want to see progression from, in theory, the cornerstone of your franchise. Mm-hmm. And I think we saw that today with Justin. He made, like you said, better decisions. He took over multiple times in this game, right? Whether it was the scramble, you talked about that 22-yard electric play, where I don't even understand what happened. I got to go back and watch it again. Like, I've already watched it 5 times. And I still barely understand what happened there. Or the little jump pass rollout he had to Jesse James for the touchdown. Just little things like that. And those are the big splash plays. Now, what about, like you said, the little ones that keep drives alive, whether it's himself scrambling, whether it's finding a short dump off pass. There was that one third and short where in previous games might have been an incomplete, but he found Darnell Mooney, right? Mm-hmm. Just right along the far hash away from us. There were multiple times where he's able to do that and keep them stacking good plays. And that's what he's talked about. Final result wasn't what we wanted it to be, of course. And honestly, that last drive, not fantastic. Third and long, took a sack he probably couldn't have taken. But at the same time, the 49ers also dialed up the pass rush on that last one. And that was a tough play to be able to complete anything.
No, absolutely. And, to give credit to Mason real quick, before that fourth down and one scramble, Mason told me, Justin Fields needs the ball in his hands. Like, no matter what, Justin Fields needs the balls in his hands. And then what do you see him do? Make an incredible touchdown run. And that's exactly why, because he has that ability that nobody, no one else on the Bears Khalil Herbert's been great, but there are just certain plays that he can only make. And, credit to you for saying that right before that electric play kind of happened. To kind of further this offensive discussion, I liked how early on he was hitting the tight ends. You saw, we thought this would be a game where, hey, maybe the tight ends have the most targets, receptions that they had all season. And I don't have those final stats in front of me to see that, but it was nice to see more play action being utilized to hit those kind of guys open, and actually to see what the final stats were. You had Jesse James with 3 receptions, Cole Kmet with 3 receptions. So they were actually 2 short of the 8 from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers game where, you don't remember any of those stats because they really don't matter. But I kind of liked how they were utilizing the tight ends early on in this one. But obviously, you still want to see more in that area. Mason, I kind of want to ask you, Larry Borum, he was back, right tackle. What did you make of his performance today?
Honestly, I thought Larry did great. There weren't really any instances that I really saw him, right? I mean, I purposely had to look for him to notice him.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you want right there. He wasn't committing penalties. He wasn't getting blown off the edge like what Chavius Simmons did in the Buccaneers game. He didn't have penalties on him, like I said, like you might see from a Jermaine Defetti. He's kind of been a penalty magnet. So it's good. If you're a right tackle, you don't notice him. They're doing a good job. And you didn't lose anything in the run game. And there were a couple of times I watched him against Nick Bosa, and he stoned him. Larry Borum has a big body, but he's got some fast feet. And I really do think that was a steal for Pace in the draft. I know a lot of people were questioning why, hey, you got Tevin Jenkins. Why the heck did you draft Larry Borum? I mean, this is why. Because A, a lot of injuries going on.
Yeah.
And B, because he can play. So, we joked about don't let him be your savior, but he's doing a pretty darn good job.
Yeah, no, he definitely is. So a nice addition to have him for this game. But some of the other offensive linemen, Mason, the guys that have been on this team for a little bit, James Daniels, it was on the first drive of the game, flagged twice for, a holding penalty, and then I think an illegal man downfield penalty. You had Cody Whitehair get a penalty on holding. So guys that you want to say that you can depend on, that have been in the league, didn't do that today. And that's kind of disappointing overall as a unit, but it is nice to get a Larry Borum back, get him in that role. And he had, I think, 11 snaps? Not many in the first game against
15,
the Rams.
15, I believe.
So not very many to kind of build off of, but first game back, and he did a pretty decent job. So, Mason, to kind of just continue this offensive discussion, is there anything else I kind of want to talk about or highlight while we're here?
The only thing I would highlight is not to look too far ahead. Next offseason is going to be interesting in terms of the weapons that whoever is in charge of the Bears and whoever's coaching the Bears has to look at. You look at someone like an Allen Robinson, he had 3 receptions, only 4 targets all game. Longest reception was 10 yards. Darnell Mooney, 6 receptions, 9 targets. That's just fine. But that's a pretty big gap between your number one and your number two receiver. It's basically flipped at this point. And then second leading receivers for the Bears, Jesse James with 3, Cole Kmet with 3, we're also there. So you need more from your weapons. And there's just some people, it's like, why are you here almost? You know, what, like Demir Byrd, I think it was like midway through the second quarter, you're like, oh, look, a Demir Byrd sighting. And he didn't even like do anything. He just was on the field. So you need more.
And you know what? You thought going into the season that the Bears just had the weapons. You look at Allen Robinson, you look at Demir Byrd, and you think that they can do something. But I think at this point, it's solidified now. The Bears' number one passing target is Darnell Mooney.
And is he even a number one receiver? Really?
See, that's the thing, too. Is he? He's doing what he can, and he's been having some drops, I would say, the last two games. But at this point, it's hard to say that he is a number one. So they need to look into that and see how they can address that entire position in the offseason, like you were just saying. Mason, let's talk about this defense now. I mean, this is...
What defense?
Exactly. No, so that's a really good point. A really nice way to start this, because this is a team that gave up, again, over 467 total yards. The rushing attack for the 49ers was deadly. I mean, Elijah Mitchell was really getting those explosive runs like you highlighted in the beginning, and the Bears defense didn't really have an answer. They didn't punt. The Bears did not punt today. Or the Bears did not punt. They couldn't force a punt on the 49ers. And that obviously is an issue after you just gave up 38 points to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, if you look at it, the 49ers averaged 8.6 yards per play, but that was actually after they took a couple kneel downs and, you know, just ran the ball a couple times. 9.2 yards before that. The Bears averaged 4.8. And so obviously you can talk about the Bears 4.8 as one conversation, but to almost give up essentially a first down per play is huge. You talked about the middle of the field being open. That was horrendous. You had mentioned too that they were avoiding Jalen Johnson. They were going after Duke Shelley. They were going after Kendall Vildor. There is no one that you can't count on anyone besides really Roquan Smith, Jalen Johnson, Khalil Mack, who's not playing, and Robert Quinn, who didn't jump off the stat sheet today.
No, and I think we've come to realize when the Bears can't get sacks, that's where a lot of their problems happen. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Garoppolo had a bunch of time, and it didn't matter if there was, you know, a little bit of pressure. There was a lot of times where Jimmy Garoppolo made a bunch of big plays because nobody could get to him, collapse that pocket in the 49ers, credit to them for their offensive line. But this Bears defense is completely different without a pass rush. And I know Khalil Mack is. But you still have guys that are capable of getting to the quarterback, and they just could not do that today.
Yeah, this Bears defense has hidden behind their pass rush. There's a big difference between coverage sacks and sacks. They've gotten sacks, right? Even when someone maybe like a Gibson has gotten a sack. Sometimes mm-hmm. when a Bilal Nichols has gotten one, things like that. A lot of times it's because of the attention that Khalil Mack and this year Robert Quinn have forced. And when you don't have that, those other guys don't get sacks. When you don't have that, you know, Duke Shelley gets burned on a slant route for 14, 15 yards. When you don't have that, you all of a sudden have a deep ball to Deebo Samuel or in Brandon Ayuk, where all of a sudden they run straight past Kendall Vildor. There wasn't any safety help. I don't know the play design for the defense on that one. But at the end of the day, at a bare minimum, Vildor is going to be able to run with that. So when you don't have that, when you have a third and it's like third and 20, and then they picked up 15 yards. Luckily, it was only 15 yards. But Jimmy Garoppolo was sitting back there all day long, picking up all the yards he wants for the most part. So something has got to change when it comes to, and it may not be this year, but something has got to change when it comes to the linebackers and the secondary.
Yeah, it was weird with this game too. Like Dan Trevathan was in at times when you thought Alec Ogletree should be in. They were playing defense with 10 players. You know, a couple of sets actually had a pretty successful play when they only had 10 players. But you can't give up on 3rd and 19, 83-yard reception.
No
matter what. You cannot give that up if you want to win a football game. So,
and I saw a couple people tweeting about like, oh, there was a block in the back or the hold. Yes, you're right. Those existed, but you shouldn't depend on the refs to bail you out, make the dang play.
Exactly. So that's just another issue that the Bears are having. Now you can put their defense on the list of things, and their offense actually, again, you want more points from them, but offensively there's still improvement. They still need to make improvements, and defensively they've relapsed significantly the past two seasons. That's definitely gonna pick up.
Oh, absolutely.
So that should be interesting. I mean, Mason, like this is another loss, 33-22. Is there anything else that you kind of want to talk about? Anything offense, defense? We can take this forever because, again, it's three losses in a row. And the Bears, this is 2-4 loss team. coming in to the 49ers, and now the Bears are on a good losing streak as well.
We said that in the preview show. Both teams needed this win, and it seemed the 49ers were more equipped to come out on top at the end of the day. So, no, I don't think there's too much more to say.
You know, we'll just close it out. Is there an MVP that you have for the game, and we'll get out of here?
I'm going to give it to Justin just because he was the Bears' offense from pretty much the middle of the second quarter through midway through the fourth quarter. Without the way he played, this wouldn't have been 33-22.
No, it wouldn't. I mean, he started the game, 4-for-4 in that first drive with field goal. But, yeah, he's easily the MVP of this one, and he showed improvements, and that's what you want to see even in a loss, because we talked about it. It's not about, you know, the win total at the end of the season. Yes, you'd like to see it, especially against a struggling 49ers team, but Justin Fields made progress. And we'll kind of leave it at that, and we'll see how this all actually turned out. So it should be funny.
Well, and Bears get to look ahead to a Steelers game Monday night, and we know the Bears are terrible in primetime. The Steelers also beat the Browns today, 15-10, who the Bears got dismantled by. So this should be a fun week.
We'll see how it goes, but make sure to follow us here at the Chicago Audible on Twitter, Facebook, all the social media. Follow Mason West on Twitter. Follow myself, Nicholas Moriano. And again, we'll see how this turns out. Until then, Bear Down Chicago.